Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Hello, and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, your host today, and so thrilled to have an old friend with us today. I met Tom LaRotunda from Denver, Colorado, about 10 years ago when I lived in Denver, and went to a business that he had called Core Matters, and he just really impressed me as an incredible life coach, a speaker, and now he's an author, and he has done so much good in the world to introduce people to spiritual principles to change their life, to improve their lives, and just an all-around good guy. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Brenda, and it's great. You and I haven't spoken in, I don't know, a couple of years other than some Facebook and text messages and that, and so I'm delighted and honored to be here today with you, and you're just equally as inspiring too, Brenda. Just know that.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thank God for social media so we could stay connected because you're one of those people I never wanted to lose touch with, having gone to Core Matters and having really some breakthroughs there with yourself and your former business partner that really kind of opened my eyes to some topics that I was very new at learning at that time. I guess it was about maybe almost 12 years ago or so, and concepts about inner child and concepts about, you know, just tapping into our higher selves. And I think I was just beginning my spiritual journey then and self-awareness and how to dig deep and pull some things out. So how long have you been a life coach?
Officially, I've been a life coach since the year 2000, so that would put me right about 14 years. But, you know, Brenda, even back when I was living my prior life in corporate America, which I was in for nearly 25 years, I always had a coaching philosophy at that time. I always felt that the way to motivate people, to inspire people, was not by telling them what to do, but by solving problems with them and empowering them to come up with their own solutions. So it's just, I was born a coach, let's put it that way. But if you want to look at officially how long it's been 14 years, and I have loved every moment of it.
Wow. Now, you made quite the career change, and I like to just share a little bit about that because, you know, I have a lot of listeners that might be stuck in doing work that is not fulfilling and not tapping into their greater potential and are terrified about making a major change or leaving the security of a regular paycheck every 2 weeks. What brought you to leave your corporate world and sort of explore a whole new life as an entrepreneur and as a business coach?
Well, I'll give you a history without, you know, taking too much time with it, but I had spent, from the time I graduated from college, which was back in 1974, I did the thing, the unconscious thing of, okay, I have this degree in business, and so I interviewed, and a company hired me, and the career sort of found me, and I did my best to, you know, live into it, and 25 years later, I was still doing the same thing, but not really feeling like I belong there. And what happened in the mid-90s was the last company I'd worked for was Citicorp, and I had spent 14 years with them, and I was here in Denver, and the company decided to close down the Denver office, and I was offered opportunities to leave and go to other parts of the country, but I decided it was time for me to branch out. And at that time, there was other things going on in my life, and that was sort of my midlife crisis that we always hear about, because I was in my early 40s then. And what I did, Brenda, is I took luckily, I had some resources set aside. I had a nice, buyout by the company, and I took a couple of years off to really explore who I am, and try different things. And that 2-year journey went into the 5 years, and in the year 2000, I decided to, maybe get real again and go back and work for a company, and I did. I took a middle-level management position, and as life would have it, because I think what happens is the universe, life is always trying to push you into what you're most passionate about, what your gifts are, because we all came into this world with gifts. And we were born to succeed. We weren't born to struggle. And so if you're off course, you will get those nudges all the way from being downsized to going through failed relationships. It's like a GPS system that's always taking you back on track. And that's what happened to me on September 10th, 2001. So note that date. I was downsized again by that company, and then, of course, the next day I woke up, and the events of 9/11 unfolded. And the first thing I wondered about over the next couple of days is how many of those people died in that tower who were not living their dream, who were not pursuing their dream. And I made a commitment to myself that that was it for me. I was going to go for the dream. I was going to bring forth my talents, which I was very clear was coaching, speaking, and writing. And I wasn't quite sure how it would unfold, but I trusted it. And so to answer your question, you know, I have a good friend, and you may have even interviewed her, Tama Keeves, who's a well-known author out
Not
here
yet.
In Denver.
She's on my list.
Okay,
I need
well,
to
you,
have
you
Tama
need
on
to,
here soon.
I'll put you in touch with her, yes.
Yes.
But she's written a couple of fantastic books, and she has been, I actually coached with her at one time. But her story was she went to Harvard, graduated, went to work for a law firm in Denver, and was miserable. And she was on the partnership track, and then she wanted to write poetry, and she left. And so one day I was at one of her seminars, and someone asked her, how did you have the courage to leave the security of being an attorney and risk going out and just striking out on your own? You know, it took courage, you know. And what she said, she says, you know, it would have been crazy for me to stay in my job. That was the real fear. The fear was to stay there and to play small and to never go after my dream. She says the easy decision was to follow my heart. And I've never forgotten that. So, you know, you hear it all the time, Brenda. You know, trust your passion, and you'll be taken care of. And I have found that to be very true in my life. Doesn't mean at times, you know, you don't go through some hard times. But the more you bring forth your passion, the more you are supported by the love of the universe.
I love that. And that's what we talk about here on Greater Good Ministries and the various radio shows we have on this program, and especially my show, Alive to Thrive, that I know is an outgrowth of my work I did in Denver and going to places like Mile High Church and reading books by Neil Donald Walsh and Marianne Williamson and so many wonderful people like that. Who is the coach that trained you, that inspired you the most, one of the coaches you worked with?
The one who most recently has had a major impact in my life is a leadership coach by the name of Stephen McGee, and I worked with him for a full year a couple years ago, and then I have off and on actually collaborated with him on different things, and he is a very powerful, high-end type of coach. He works with CEOs all across the country, and I would say that he, you know, and he's had an impact on me in two ways. One is directly through the coaching that he did with me, and I worked with him for an entire year. But what a lot of people don't realize is it's not just the coaching sessions and the support you receive from a coach, But it's the work that goes on in between that.
Mm.
And also the demonstration of who you select as a mentor and a coach. I always tell people when you are going to work with a coach, look to see, are they living the principles that they're going to be helping you with in their lives? And that's not to say they have to be perfect, but, you know, I want to work with someone who has not always succeeded, but I want to work with people when I'm looking for a coach myself who has been through the hard times, who has had to overcome adversity. And because I know then when they say to me, you know, what I say to you, what I share with you has worked for me, I know they're talking from experience versus theory. And so I would say Stephen, followed by, like I said, Tama Keys, had a very big impact on my life. And they had two entirely different styles, Brenda.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Tamara. I saw her speak at Mile High Church, and she was very dynamic and very high energy. And I see Stephen's website here. Just want to shout that out to the audience, McGhee, M-C-G-H-E-E, leadership.com. Very serious stuff there. You can tell he's worked with some very big companies and Microsoft, and I know Debbie Ortega there in Denver. He's worked with her and Kaiser Permanente.
Oh, do you?
Some help.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember Debbie very well. I need to have her on the show as well. She's a dynamic lady. But so people should work with coaches in terms of going to the next level, tapping into their passion, if they want to reinvent themselves, if they want to grow in a new direction, and if they're tired of living life small and not fully expressing all their greatness. And each of us was, you know, has a purpose here on earth to shine forth our light, and we each have a unique story. And you know, I love that that our greatest pain is our greatest lessons as teachers and as coaches, that we can pull those times of adversity, as you talked about. I love that, looking for a coach that has overcome hard times and adversity and isn't afraid to talk about it, because then you know that they have resiliency. Are you working with any coaches now yourself?
At the moment, I am not in an official coaching relationship, but, you know, the way I approach life is everyone is my coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you come from the philosophy, my philosophy is that the world and everyone in your life and every situation in your life is a mirror to what's going on inside of you. You know, we are not victims of circumstance. We basically create what is around us. And so if I ever, I you know, with all my clients, the starting point is to let them know that if you ever want to know what you're truly thinking, because we can fool ourselves very well, Brenda. You know, we have been taught to wear a mask in this world and to hide our true selves. But the thing is the world doesn't buy into the mask. And what it does is it will reflect back to you your core beliefs, you know, and what your thoughts are. And so, you know, the first thing I tell people to do is let's just get truly honest and transparent with what is going on in your life. Let's begin to disassemble the mask that you're wearing, because it is through transparency and honesty and self-acceptance that transformation can start. And so for me, like right now in my life, my mother is 85 years old, and I'm the primary caretaker for her, and she's in good health, and she is in an unassisted living place. But as I deal with her more than I ever have in my life, and one great starting place to recognize what you believe is your judgments, to see how you judge people. Well, for a while there, I saw myself making judgments of my mother in terms of saying, Mom, why are you not living a more authentic, or why are you always sort of complaining, or why are you never happy with something? And I don't want to paint the picture she's an unhappy person. She isn't. But, you know, she sort of, the point is even though I was judging that, guess what, Brenda? That's a reflection of what was going on inside of me. So she has become one of my best coaches. because mm-hmm. I then turn around, and this is what I believe in, is that it is always about us in terms of what is going on in our life. And if we want to change, we change us. We don't try to change other people. We have no right to change other people. It's none of our business to change other people. When we change, everything changes, and it starts with our perspective on life. And so, so that was a long answer to your question that, I don't have a formal coaching relationship right now, but I love how life can be the greatest coach ever. Mm-hmm. And the last thing is a spiritual connection. I turn to the source. I call that source God, but whatever a person wants to refer to that source, that is my board of directors. The source is my board of directors. God is my board of directors. God is my life coach. God is everything to me. And so, I believe in going to the top.
I love that. God is my board of directors. That's so cool. Well, we'll dig into that a little bit too. But when you work with people as their coach, mm-hmm. and you tell them and start encouraging them to take responsibility for their life and stop playing the victim, mm-hmm. that could be a bitter pill for some to swallow. I mean, if it has a lifetime of pattern, they may even resist that word victim. How do you start mm-hmm. unraveling and start, mm-hmm. Working with them on that?
Well, there's a twofold approach to that, and I don't want to formalize things because one of the things, or make it into a formula is what I mean. One of the things about coaching is the ability to flow and to be creative on the spot and to be fully present with your client. But if there is a formula I use, number one is I make sure I work with people that I resonate with, that I feel a connection with. So when I was first starting out as a coach and I wasn't making a lot of money, I tended to be a little bit more fear-based, Brenda. And I would, someone would come to me and they'd want to work with me and they had the money to pay for it. And even though there was something inside of me that said, I'm not sure I'm the right person, because of that fear that was inside me, I would go ahead and take them on. And I did my best, but truthfully, I don't think starting out that way leads to success. So nowadays what I've arrived at is when I meet with someone, I always do a long two-hour sit-down with people and get to know them and let them get to know me. And I want to make sure that if I'm going to work with someone that I already feel that connection, that alignment, that this is the kind of person I'm going to work with. And truthfully, if it's someone who is just isn't open to this idea of, you're the creator and not a victim, then I'm probably not the right coach. So that's the first thing. The second thing is once I take them on, then I meet them where they are. Okay, so I'm not going to just barge in because, a coach is not a consultant. We're not here to give you advice. We are here to help you find your own answers. What I excel at is asking questions. What I excel at is helping someone explore themselves. And how do I know who that person is unless I really help them ask questions? And that's the value of a really true coach is they happen to have that intuition and instinct to know when is the right time to ask a question, what is the right question that will help the person reveal to themselves what's holding them back. So, if I am working with someone who, say, is pretty far into the path of this philosophy of, yes, I do know that my thoughts create what's going on out there, I just need a little more fine-tuning, then I can jump right in there. But if I take on someone who is fairly new to this path, I'm going to be, I'll use the word gentle, I'm going to take smaller steps with them. So I meet them where they are, and that's how, because if you don't, you're going to alienate your client, and that's not a good thing to do.
Mm. And I think that asking those key questions, I love that approach because once someone starts journaling and thinking deeply about those questions, they may, you know, think and answer in a session, but then that question will linger with them. And if they're journaling about it, if they're taking walks out in nature and thinking about it, it's almost like the answer will be downloaded from the universe to them. And as you say, following your path where it's in flow as opposed to where you're meeting resistance. And it's amazing how so many people keep hitting their head against the proverbial brick wall and trying to force something to happen that is not in their highest good. And they may not know that till later.
Right.
And they look back and say, hey, you know, that situation was really, losing that job was actually in my highest good, ultimately.
Yeah, well, hindsight is a great teacher, and I want to jump in here because here's why I think the coaching profession has really been, you know, in 2000 when I first started, it was just barely beginning, and it has obviously exploded, and a lot of people are going into coaching, here's the thing is that I tell people, you are the most valuable resource you have. It is more valuable than all the money you have in the bank. It is more valuable than the degrees that you have. It is more valuable than the friends you have. That the most valuable resource is you, and especially the true you. But how little time do we really devote to knowing who we are? So if a person is buying a house, they'll go out and they'll research, and they'll spend days and hours, or if they're buying a car, finding out all the ins and outs of the neighborhood and, you know, who has driven this car. I mean, they invest a lot of time and energy into it, and yet when you ask someone, how much time each day do you spend on discovering who you are, it's sad, but today most people, that question stops them in their tracks. And what I really help people.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I really help people to really, you know, invest in you. You are what's going to make a difference in the world and in your life. Go ahead, Brenda.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say now. I was going to say that it's often a tragedy or a terminal illness or bankruptcy, you know, some life event that sort of pushes people to start doing that inward journey. I mean, have you seen people that have initiated the journey without an external event happening?
Not usually. The ones that do have, they're farther down the path of understanding, you know, that, you know, what transformation, inner transformation is all about. You're right. It takes a real knock in the head to get our attention. And the reason is because we have been taught from the time we were born to put our focus on the things of the world. Okay? And so I know you've heard this before, Brenda, but how many times have you heard someone say, I'll believe it when I see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what if you never see it? Then that means you're never going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone has never seen a peaceful community, they're never going to believe peace is possible. Or if they have never seen a loving relationship in their life, then to them, it's just not possible. So the flip side is, I'll see it when I believe it. So that is turning everything upside down. So it's taken the focus off what you see in the world, and it is beginning to put trust in that power that's inside you, Brenda. When we were born, there is a power inside of us, and whatever a person wants to call it, they can call it a soul, whatever resonates for them, but there is a power inside you that is connected to that which we can't see, and it is from that place that you fulfill your destiny, that you become everything you were meant to be. And some people will say, well, how is it that some people are born with deformities and, you know, things like that? And I don't have a good answer for that, but I always tell people, you know, if you think something is true or isn't true, all you have to do is find one example in the world, and that will challenge that belief that it can't be done. So while, you know, so the fact is there are people, you've probably seen, I can't remember his last name, but you've probably seen these videos on YouTube. His name's Nick, and I can't remember his last name. He was born with no arms and no legs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking about, Brenda?
Yeah, he's an incredible speaker. I saw something about him on television playing basketball
right.
or something. I don't know.
He is amazing, and his attitude in life is just, he's not looking at like, boy, was I given a bad break. He basically, however it happens, he took the time to overcome it. He said, I came here with a purpose. If he can do it, then a person who came into a family and they were sexually abused or they were physically abused certainly can do the same, you know. And I know it's not easy. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not patronizing, you know, and saying this is easy. It takes a lot of work, but what it takes the most of, Brenda, is belief in what is good, what is holy.
I wanted to give his last name. It's I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's spelled V-U-J-I-C-I-C, Vujicic,
yes.
perhaps, and his organization.
Yes.
He has his Life Without Limbs, and so people can look that up, lifewithoutlimbs.com. He is an amazing speaker. He's from Australia originally, and I definitely want to get him on the show.
And he's married.
Beautiful wife and a child.
Right.
And, and just a happy, you just look at his face, and there's so much joy coming from his face, smiling and handsome and just full of life. I love it. And
whenever I get down, I will watch one of his videos, you know, and that's what I would encourage. So if anyone out there hasn't seen that, please look it up. And that's another thing I would tell people to do is begin to assemble tools and resources that when you get stuck, when you get starting to feel despair, depression and that, turn to these resources and allow them to inspire you. And that's what I do as a life coach, and hopefully all life coaches do, is I'm going to hold that space of your highest good always emerging. And I'm going to gently hold you accountable so that if you come in and you're giving me your story, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, that's a story. Now tell me who you truly are. And I do take my profession as a very sacred calling. And so when I, Brenda, you're going to laugh at this. I tell people this. When I take on a client, I get married to them. And I mean it in my heart. And I tell people, I'm going to fall in love with you. And I don't mean that from a romantic standpoint. I mean that from a universal love standpoint. Because, Brenda, isn't it true that when you're in love with someone, what do? You listen. You care. You know, you invest in them in a different way. And so that's what I do with my clients.
And I think also the word that comes to me is you commit to them.
Yes.
And they commit to you. It's not a lighthearted relationship. It's a very it's a relationship where the two people are committed to each other for their highest good. And that's an interesting concept. And I liked going back to what you said earlier that, you know, you choose clients that you resonate with. You know, there isn't always a perfect fit. And I love that book, Attracting Perfect Customers, because whether it's customers or coaching clients, it's, you know, we shine our light and then the right people come into our lives that are, you know, looking for the lessons we have to teach. And you have so many glowing testimonials on your website. I do want to give out your website address before we go to a quick break. We'll come back and talk about your books. But Tom's website is Tom Laura. Okay, we're back on the air. We had a little technical difficulty there. Sorry about that. Went offline for 30 seconds.
I thought that was the break,
Challenger
Brenda.
Did not blow up, but it did have technical difficulties. We're going to take our break and listen to a couple of PSAs, and we'll be right back with Tom LaRotunda, life coach, author, speaker, and just an all-around great guy and someone who will help you change your life if you're open and ready to change. We'll be right back.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in the 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Frazier on GGM Radio. And now, back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to Alive to Thrive, and hope you're all just staying with us and warm and cozy wherever you are in the country. I know we've had a lot of cold weather, but today we are having a very warm, loving conversation with Tom LaRotunda, author, speaker, and life coach and facilitator for more than 14 years of many groups and working with individuals. But, Tom, you have a couple of books out, and I want to talk about the four elements of an inspired life as well as your latest book, Real Love?
Only Love is Real.
Only Love is Real. Sorry about that. And tell us about the book, and when did it come out?
Well, the first book came out 3 years ago, The Four Elements of Inspired Life. And what that was, and you probably remember, Brenda, is I do put out weekly inspirational messages. I do have a blog that you can go to my website and sign up for. And I've been doing this for years. I took a break a few years ago, people so love those inspirational messages, I decided to put them into a book, and that's what The Four Elements of an Inspired Life is I took the 25 of my best messages that I enjoyed and that I had a lot of feedback on, and I put them into a book, and I, you know, included some self-inquiring questions, and people seem to really love that. It's an easy read. It's available out there at Amazon. The new book just came out a few months ago, Only Love is Real, and it's really my passion. I mean, I have evolved over the years, Brenda, to realize that the greatest power in the world is love. And so what this book is about, it really is, what it says on the cover is, I just have one singular purpose: to inspire you to reclaim a memory of a love deep inside you that is pure, simple, and beautiful, and powerful. And so I labeled it Pure Simple Love, P-U-R-E, Simple Love. And, you know, so this book takes you through a journey, and I make a distinction. I make a couple, well, the first distinction I make is between worldly love and pure simple love, and I call that more the unconditional love is another word for it. And so this book is a journey to help people open up to love, and not the love that we necessarily see on TV or on the movies, because especially in our Western society, we really get involved in the whole concept of romantic love. And you know, we've always heard that saying that love conquers all. But I don't believe the worldly concept of love conquers all. What I believe is that the emotion of love and the workability of love conquers all. And so that's the second distinction I make in the book, is that, you know, you have the emotion of love, and we've all felt that. We have felt what that, how amazing that is. I mean, it really is a feeling that is second to none, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't understand is the workability side of love. So, you know, I see, and in particular in relationships, I do see where people, I think there are a lot of people who truly love each other, but they don't make it. And the reason is because they haven't figured out how to make the love work. And so this book is really taking, while it does address the emotion of love, it really breaks it down into what is the practical, workable way of love. Because
mm-hmm.
love can stop wars. Love can heal hunger.
And so many times in the romantic love situation, people are caught up with that those initial feelings, those initial months of falling in love, and then when differences arise, as they will, because everybody's different and everybody has different tastes, values, and habits and background stories, you know, people will bail very quickly instead of working it out. And that's true for relationships
right.
and work and relationships
yep.
with anybody. And we're
and
in
yourself,
a more of a disposable society where people want, you know, instant gratification, and they, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's let's just throw this one out, replace it with something else, and then they're in the same situation all over again. And so working on love, working on relationships, but going within first and loving yourself,
mm-hmm.
What's the process or the importance of self-love before, you know, having
mm-hmm.
loving relationships show up outside of yourself?
It is the foundation. It is where we all have to get to down to the core, because what happens is that we do not realize how little self-love we have inside of us. And I absolutely believe that even though you can go out in the world and you can give your love to people, if you have not really come to a place of self-love and self-acceptance and self-forgiveness for yourself, that you really are not able to love externally more than you love yourself, even though it may look like you're doing that. And so you have hit the linchpin of love. It starts with knowing who you truly are and to begin to accept your humanness, you know, and to not take on the history that is behind you. So of course we're going to make mistakes. Of course we have screwed up things. Of course we have, you know, if we had things to do over again, we'd probably go back and do them differently. The thing that I really try to get across in this book, and Brenda, this is not, I'm not original on this. This is simply my twist on it. Many, 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 many people over the years have talked about this, I mean, for thousands of years. But the thing about, you know, the thing about self-acceptance is to know that no matter how bad you think you are always loved by a higher power. That in the eyes, and I'll use my word again, God doesn't see the imperfections in you. God is not judging you. God simply sees how beautiful and magnificent you are. And that's one of the things I do with my clients is I tell them, here's the analogy I use, Brenda, in my coaching, is that, you know, when you were born, you were a powerful and beautiful masterpiece, unlike anyone who has ever been born before and unlike anyone who will ever be born again. But the moment you're born, dust begins to accumulate. And unless someone early on in your life helps you to sort of, you know, whisk away that dust, by the time we hit, you know, our 20s and 30s and 40s, the layer is so thick, we cannot see our own masterpiece. And so one of the things I do as a coach is I start down on one corner and I help you begin to brush off the dust. And suddenly you get a glimpse of the color and the vibrance of that masterpiece. And when you get a glimpse of it, you are inspired to continue to take away the rest of the dust. And maybe I'm there to help you go through a lot of it. Maybe I just get you started and you run with it from there. Maybe there's another coach you will take on from there. So the power of self-acceptance is to believe with all your heart and soul that regardless of the situation you have been brought into in this life, regardless of the personality you have been given, regardless of the body you have been given, regardless of, you know, the list goes on and on, that inside you lies a brilliance that can change the world. And that's what self-acceptance is. Self-acceptance is really getting to that I am statement of I am one with God. I am one with the universe.
And that's hard for a lot of people who have experienced a lot of hurts in childhood and things. But I want to move on to working and knowing Neil Donald Walsh because you've had some interesting encounters with him. I know one time was you were driving him to an airport and shared a story about Maggie, and it ended up in his book. And then he's given you some wonderful testimonials for your books and wrote the foreword to the Four Elements of an Inspired Life. What was it like meeting him, and do you stay in touch with him? How has he influenced your life?
Well, you know, he's had a great influence on my life. And if anyone out there is not familiar with, he is the author of the Conversations with God series, which I believe he's been on the New York Times best-selling list. I want to say close to 10 times. So, you know, he's a shaker mover. And when I read his first book, which was called Conversations with God, it just really opened my heart and my mind. This is an example of being open to the magic of what you can't see. And so the story behind this, and I'll keep it short, Brenda, is that you all have heard Brenda refer. I had a business partner, amazing partner, who I formed Core Matters with, and her name was Maggie Berry. And we started in 2001, and unfortunately in 2004 she was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and she died about 8 weeks later. So shortly thereafter, how did it work out? I was invited to speak at a conference in Boulder, Colorado, and I knew the person who was coordinating this conference. And about a week before the conference was going to start, she called me up and she said, "Tom, Neil Donald Walsh is one of our keynote speakers, and he's going to be in town for a couple of days." And she says, "We need someone to just sort of be his, you know, to drive him around and help out." And she says, "I just think you would be the perfect person to do that." Now, here's the ironic thing, Brenda, is I almost said no because I had a lot of things going on, but I didn't, fortunately, and I said yes. So I picked him up at the airport, and we had this, for people who aren't familiar, you know, to get from Denver to Boulder from the airport, it's about a 45-minute drive. And we just started talking, and when he found out what I was about, you know, he just started going on, and he just, his hands were moving in the air about, "Well, you need to write a book like this, and you need to do that." Then at one point, I shared the story of Maggie's death, which had just occurred maybe 9 months before that. And he looked at me and he says, "Well, you don't know this, Tom, but I'm in the final days of finishing my book, Home to God." And he says, I want to put that story, because I shared a story what happened on the day she died, and he says, mm-hmm. I want to put that story in my book, but you got to get it to me like tonight, and I did. And so, you know, I feel like a brother to Neil, and you know, we have stayed in touch, and whenever he comes to Denver, you know, and speaks at Mile High Church, which you mentioned, I love to go there and reconnect with him. You know, his life is big and busy, so, you know, it's hard to have an ongoing communication with him. You know, I was so blessed. And at one time, we were even talking about collaborating on a book, and that didn't totally pan out, but I was just so honored to even be considered as a collaborator with him, as a co-writer with him.
Well, that is the magic of the universe. And, you know, wow. I mean, chance encounters come up in our lives, and it's all on how we take those chance encounters. They are divinely directed, I believe. There is no coincidence in God's universe. I mean, you were destined to meet him, and he had a major impact on your life, and as Maggie and you have had on my life. And, you know, in only just three sessions with Maggie, or maybe even one or two, I don't know, it was not very many. I thought I was going there for business coaching, and we start talking about my childhood, and she hit upon something, again, like you were saying, with asking the right questions, that sort of blew me away. And it was something like, whatever happened in your life, or was there a time in your life that you did something that was fun and fulfilling and full of joy, and something bad happened? And there was this family tragedy that had happened when I was out riding my bike one day, and I was just out fooling around. And that, I had not told anyone that experience. I had not ever thought, I didn't think I was, you know, it was consciously in my mind, but it was in there somewhere in my subconscious that if I do something that brings me joy, someone else may get hurt, or some suffering may transpire, or if I pursue joy, there's like this consequence on the other, you know, that there's not just joy, just to experience joy, like unconditional love. And, you know, it was soon after she got her diagnosis, and she died very quickly, and she touched so many people's lives.
And
we never know, whether you're a coach or an author or speaker or whatever role you have in life, where you may intersect with someone's life, and that life is profoundly changed forevermore. You know, the there was a situation this week, actually two situations. One, someone I had met casually and knew for the last 9 years, saw her here and there, but I admired her at a distance. She had died this week, and she was very young, too, like Maggie, and it was unexpected. And, you know, we all have a role to play, and you never know how you're going to plant a seed in someone's life that may grow in a new direction for them. So,
what a perfect segue, Brenda, because the very last chapter in my book is called Plant Your Love and Let It Grow, which I took from one of Eric Clapton's songs. And so just to I apologize for jumping in there, but
no,
you know,
please do.
You never know the impact. See, the ego, E-G-O, loves to say, you know, you can have an immediate impact right now, and if you don't see an impact, you did something wrong, or there's something wrong with that person. No, love is planting seeds. You know, so when I'm working with a client, I plant seeds of greatness, you know, in them, of acceptance, of seeing who they are. Now, does that mean it's going to blossom right now? No, we never know. Now, sometimes I'm the person who comes along after many seeds have been planted, and it happens to blossom in front of me. That doesn't mean I take that credit. What it means is I am devoted, and if you read my last chapter of my book, I'm going to be the Johnny Appleseed of spreading love. And that means I'm going to go around and plant as many seeds as I can in the time I have left remaining. And I'm not attached to seeing the outcome. But I know every time I treat someone with love and respect and compassion and understanding, and sometimes love can be tough, that that goes into them. And it begins to grow. And so thank you for using that term. And me and Brenda did not set that up, by the way, listeners.
Well, I know. And with Valentine's and February coming up with the month of love, that, you know, we could all take a personal challenge in the next 30 days or 28 days. February has 28 days. Each day doing something loving, unexpected, do something like pay it forward. I know there's something going on around Facebook, people asking people to take this challenge to pay it forward or do something kind each day for somebody. And maybe it's paying for someone's coffee. Maybe it's just, whatever, helping someone with their groceries. It could be
a smile. It could be just looking at someone and giving them a genuine smile. See, that's the thing. Love is easy. It's much more difficult to be a grouch. It's much more difficult to be cranky, you know. But love is easy. And I assure you, I mean, if you just think of just being around someone who even gives you a smile or just acknowledges you, it feels wonderful. It feels wonderful, and it will, you know. A few years ago, someone asked Marianne Williamson, you know, she's the best-selling author, and her first book is Return to Love, and they said, well, Marianne, if love is such a powerful force, why is fear dominating the planet? And her response, I loved it. She says, well, it's not that fear has more power than love, for it definitely does not. Love is much more stronger. It's just at this moment, fear is more organized. So let's organize love. Let's all take on this 30-day challenge and let's become a being of love. Let's actually become a Buddha, a Jesus, a Gandhi walking the earth right now in whatever situation you're in, whatever job you're in, whatever relationship you're in. Become that being of love.
I love it.
So I love your 30-day suggestion.
Yeah, well, you'll have to blog about that, and we'll have to put that out on Facebook and social media. And I do want to, again, mention Tom's website because we got cut off unexpectedly there. It's Tom, TomLarotonda.com, and you can sign up for his daily messages, read his blog.
Right.
And what's coming up for 2014? What's...
I'm so excited for 2014. One of the new things is I do six-month programs, and they're not online yet, so it tends to be local to the Colorado area, but I'm putting out a program called Mastery of Love 2.0. My two signature programs are called the Field of Dreams and the Mastery of Love, and certainly a person who doesn't live in Colorado, because the meetings are only once a month, although there's coaching that's ongoing, could certainly find a way to get here for them. But this Mastery of Love 2.0 is really, the subtitle is Removing Fear from the World. I am so gung-ho to help people to live fearlessly and to become beacons of love and self-acceptance, Brenda. So that program is really exciting me. I'm going to work on a third book. It's probably going to be a follow-up version to the four elements of an inspired life. But I mean, there's so many projects I want to take on. It's you know, as you know, Brenda, when you're inspired, you never get bored and you're always expanding. And that is my greatest wish for everyone out there, is to step into that passion, because love is creative. Love is ever expanding. Love is never ending. And, you will see a difference in your life. To see the world through the eyes of love and the eyes of fear. And
I love that.
Brenda,
and hopefully you will start offering things on virtually or blogging on our YouTube with videos. We'll have to brainstorm about that. And, you know, I wish you all the best. It's great to reconnect. And
I will be visiting
your website more often and hopefully bringing you to the Midwest and encourage other listeners throughout the country to invite Tom to your community, to your community of faith, your community center, your nonprofit organization, to be a speaker and come in and bring his messages of love.
Would love to do it. I will go anywhere.
Fantastic. Well, we'll keep everyone updated on the next 30 days of love, and we're going to close out, and we'll see everyone next week in February, the month of love. Everyone have a great weekend. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, everyone. Go out and be a force of love.